Hello and welcome to the Even Me podcast. This is Morph.
Hey y'all, and this is Kim.
All right, today we'll be talking about knowing your self-worth. When is staying in a relationship, you know, too long that causes you to lose your self-worth? So, Kim, go ahead and kick it off today for us.
Well, basically, what I wanted to talk about is definitely how many of us, men and women, end up trying to make a relationship work via, if it's a friendship, if it's a family ship, even if it's a relationship, we start to lose our self-worth by trying to please the other one for our own selfish reasons to keep, you know, allowing that person to exist in our life. We don't want to let go at a chapter that we should be closing. And it causes damage, I feel personally, for us to move on and move further in our growth. What do you think about it?
I mean, I've been in a relationship that I kind of tried to mend it, and I don't think I lost my self-worth, because I think I still knew what I was, you know, worth at that time. It was just, I think I was, I don't want to say it this way. I want to say I was almost like, what's the word? Not settling, but, you know, I think I had like a second motive. You know, I wanted to keep the family together. You know, in my eyes, you know, I really don't believe in like divorces. And I figured, you know, us doing, you know, counseling, us doing, staying together for the kids and trying to make it work and hoping for the best, you know, but, you know, like we talked about in other podcasts, you know, it comes to a certain point where a little too much is too much. Like, you know, you start to lose your self-worth, because now you're settling, you're, you know, doing things for them, you know, or let's not just say the kids, you know, let's keep the kids out of it for now, because you're going to do whatever you can for your kid, no matter what, you know, even if something happens, you know, between you and your child, you know, but that significant other, if they're doing things against you or, you know, not giving you your place, you know, in the family, you know, that's when you basically kind of like kneel down to your own, you know, worth. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think I think me, I get overly involved in a friendship or relationships, you know, family ship, you know, someone that's, you know, blood related. I put so much, I want to see that person, you know, excel, or I don't want to see that person hurting. I feel like if I'm leaving them or moving around, that I'm, you know, doing something wrong to them. But then I'm learning that at, you know, a relationship is a relationship that is earned, and a lot of people haven't totally earned my relationship, you know. So I feel that, you know, you got to know within yourself, when you're filling somebody else's cup, just remember you're draining yours. And I'm learning it as I go and figuring it out, you know. And it seems like a bad thing to me. At first it was like, oh man, every time I feel like somebody did something, I push them to the side. But that way, that was on that level. I didn't get what I needed from this that you did. You won't show up for me. I'm showing up for you. I have to move on to better me, because it does take you to a level where you feel like you're not worth it. You're not worth the time. You're not worth, people push you away because they think you want something from them, and all you want is a little loyalty like you're giving them. It's never reciprocated that way. So I think, you know, a lot of people start losing their self-worth, and then it's hard. It's like, you know, a new coat of paint on a car. It's still those scars are under there. And if that paint is not, you know about cars, you got to put something on the paint to keep it from the rain coming and you know, washing it away or it rusting or them scars showing up again. That's why I was like, yeah, you can put on makeup, you can put on a happy smile, you can choose another friend, choose another relationship, but those scars are still there. And some people have to get out of it before they have to know, hey, I'm drained from this. It's time to leave this, you know, and I can't reopen it, that door for this type of relationship.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to friends, I don't think I really, any friend that I had that I considered a friend and kind of, you know, either didn't, I guess give me my place or basically, you know, give me my worth, you know, I kind of just left them behind and I didn't look back. So a lot of times, so let's say I had a friend when I was in high school, you know, everybody knew he was the one that had a car. So we would always hang out with him, you know, because he had a car, you know, but I got him a job, you know, where I was working at and kind of helped him out. And, you know, kind of, you know, we were both broke, you know, we would eat the same thing. Like we would go clubbing, you know, he really wasn't a drinker at that time. I was 17 and still in high school and I was able to drink because I actually had a beard. I think we talked about this before. And after the club, I mean, it was same thing. We would go get some cheap burgers from Jack in the Box or something, or go to an after hours or something like that. But, you know, it came a time where he actually did something that at that time, you know, when I was with my my ex-wife, we, like I said, we met like when I was still in high school. He actually knew me and her were together and he tried it. Like he one day just came up and like kissed her just like out the blue.
Dang.
You know, and she was like, you know, what the hell are you doing? You know, your friend, you know, is my boyfriend. And we've been going steady for, you know, whatever time she told him. And he was like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. So, I mean, I didn't do anything to him. You know, I knew that, you know, he was, you know, he probably had some issues or something. I don't know, but I just left it alone. Mm-hmm. I basically just said, you know, there's no point of me doing anything to you. I'll just leave you alone because I knew she knew her worth. I knew my worth and it was no point of me, you know, doing anything. I think that was the best thing and actually made him feel dumb. And, you know, he actually came back and started saying he was sorry. He don't know what came over him and, you know, yada, 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 you know. But when I think if you know your self-worth or you're in a relationship or you have a friendship that's going the wrong way, I think the best thing for a person to do is pull themselves back. Be like, you know, that's not the way I want to go. Because after that, I was like, there's no point of me being his friend. Mm-hmm. A person like that just ups and kiss your woman knowing that y'all going, you know, together, or, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever you want to call it, you know, he doesn't care. You know, even if it was a so-called accident or, you know, he don't know what came over him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, people make excuses and it's like, I like my supervisor said it. Excuses only benefit the people who use them. No. So, and it's like, it's so true. And when he said it, I didn't understand it. And I'm understanding it now more so if you sit back and watch people's actions and what they do and they verbiage they do. And it goes to my friend, like, you know, she's going through a lot. But the reason why she's going through this here, these trials and tribulations with mm-hmm. with our friends, is because they're not her friends. And this is what I keep telling her, and I love her to death. God has greater for her. So what he does is he's holding was for her, not from her, but he's holding it for her because she can't see it until she get rid of those so-called friends. And this, you should know, she went to the lowest of her life, but she always made sure she show up for everybody. When she's making money, she gonna make sure they making money. And she feel bad about that. And I understand, because I'm in that same predicament. When you have a big heart, you love and you want to give and want everybody to feel the same way and feel have what you have. And at times you got to separate yourself, because you can't get where you're going with those same people, because you're going to start feeling what they're feeling. If they're going through something, they are not motivated to pursue something better in their life, you're going to feel that, and you're dragging all those stones and bricks with you and can't move on, and you start losing yourself. So my thing of it is, now I'm starting to find out. Like, if I have a conversation, like I keep saying, I have a conversation to let you know what I don't like.
Yeah.
And I may give you multiple chances. Yes, I care for you. I don't want to see anything bad happen to you, unless you come for my babies. You come for them, is that's it. You know, I forget, you know, God rules the earth then, but I forget then, because I'm ready for your throat. But any other time, I just have to step away. And I don't want, for me to step away from a relationship or a friendship, I don't want to see anything bad happen to you. I don't have to be mad at you to step away from you. I can wish you the best, but I just can't wish, I don't want your, you know, you eating at the same table with me. That's the thing. We can't break bread together. We can't eat at the same table. And, cause I know what your intentions are. Or, you know, you're not going to show up for me when I'm on side of the road with a flat or anything, you know? So I think that where a lot of us start feeling loathing, we loathe ourselves, and many times we don't see that, because what we do is dress it up, go to the club, and you know, fool with somebody else, and do, you know, bring other people around us just to mask what we're really going through. And I think once we start figuring out, hey, I don't like this, this is what you're doing, I'm gonna let you go and do that with somebody else. Yeah, it's gonna hurt for me to lose this friendship or relationship, but it's not beneficial to me. And move on. You save yourself stress. You save yourself heartache. You save yourself questioning, are you a good person? Are you a beautiful person? Because you're away from all that negativity and craziness.
So here's my other question.
Mm-hmm.
When is too much too much? Or how long are you willing to deal with someone that you realize is not going to change, you know? And how do you break it down to them? You know, what do you tell them? What do you feel, you know, is the right way to let them down?
But first of all, like I said, I have conversations. I'm a conversationist. I'm gonna try to get to it, and many times, depending on who the person is, a lot of people don't want to let you into what's going on with them. But I'll try to have that conversation and try to break the ice to see what's going on. And I keep saying, hey, you're doing this, you're pushing me to the point where it's making me feel some kind of way. I know you've been through something, you're going through something or whatever, but it's starting to hurt me in the process. It shouldn't hurt me because you're trying to push me away. So now, I think after two conversations, really legitimate conversations, you can be there for a person, but if they're not willing to make some changes for themselves, it's only gonna hurt you in the long run. So at a time, it's like, let this person do them, live their self-destructive life, and I don't wanna be a part of it, because life is hard already, you know? We got so much going on, and why be in misery like that? Yeah, it'll be okay one day, then the next 4 or 5 days is horrible. That's like, I lived that life, and I refuse to live that life again. And I see some friendships I don't let go. Some friendships are kind of shaky, because I'm gonna always be real to you. If you're my friend, I'm gonna always genuinely try to be real to you, be honest with you. And I'm gonna allow you to do the same. But when you give me some uncertainty about you, it's time to step back a little bit, you know, and watch your actions and watch your wording. So if you're self-destructing, I'm praying for you, but I can't self-destruct with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, in my mind, I don't think there's a time limit or amount of times. I think it's once your mind is made up that you've been pushed to the brink. Mm-hmm. And I mean, your mind knows, you know, I guess with the situation I'm thinking right now is like, okay, let's say this person does whatever they want, whenever they want, and is self-destructive, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. And you know, you got a family to protect. So you're not going to follow that path because, you know, it's the self-destruction can lead to destruction on your side, you know, your self-worth, you know, the value that you have for you and your family will go down. That person doesn't care because they're destructive at that point. It's neither here nor there for them. So, I mean, that situation, you know, I feel that, okay, if I see something like that, then yes. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's my time to say, okay, that is done. Now, if it's like a situation that, let's say they keep doing the same thing over and over and they keep doing it wrong, right? Or they do something that you dislike, you know, or something, let's say it's something you dislike, but they were doing it prior to a relationship. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, okay, they're a habitual shopper, right? And they were always a habitual shopper. You knew that coming into the relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel as the other person, mm-hmm. you know, let's just say the better half, mm-hmm. you know, your job in that relationship at that point is to say, hey, okay, you're taking it overboard. You're buying a little bit too much, you know, kind of pull them back. Mm-hmm. And if they pull back, then okay, cool. You know, it, but if they continuously do the same thing and you're like, okay, we spoke about this, you know, this is strike one, mm-hmm. you know, and they do it again. You said, you know, two times or something. I don't know. I guess it just depends on the severity. Cause if, let's say I say, you know, don't buy anything. And they go buy a small little knickknack, and you're like, okay, it's just $5 to $10. That's nothing. Mm-hmm. But if they go buy like an expensive purse or something, and you're like, look, I'm not spending because we're on a budget. You shouldn't be spending because you should be on a budget. And mm-hmm. you know, you're already overspending. At that point, it's like, okay, you're not listening. So maybe at this point, you know, communication, if I'm communicating to you and the communication is not working, then that's when you say, okay, it's not going to work, mm-hmm. you know, but every situation is different. I believe because every relationship is different. Every friendship is different. Every, you know, situation is going to be different because you can't judge this situation based on every situation because it's always going to change, you know, and when it's like, let's say they're a habitual liar, which to mm-hmm. me, I think that's the worst, mm-hmm. you know, being a habitual liar, because that person in their mind, they believe the lie.
Yeah.
You know, they got into the point where everything they say, you know, is another lie to cover up the original lie. Mm-hmm. So it's just like they living that lie because it just stacks up on top of each other. Mm-hmm. And to me, at that point, it's never going to stop because they have to have one lie to cover the next to cover the next. It's not a little white lie. Mm-hmm. It's a continuous lie.
Yeah. And see, the thing of it is, I had someone tell me probably earlier this week, and they said I fault them for, you know, my triggers, you know, mm-hmm. and I had to think about that. And I, you know, who it was coming from, first of all, and I really care about this person. I truly do, and love him like a brother. And I was like, yeah, maybe I am triggering, you know, it's triggering something because the way you know, say it, what you said. But mm-hmm. also, I want to make you understand that is the way you did it, because the conversation that came out before this whole predicament that put me, and you know, not to bring it up, but it's just that, you know, certain things that happened with my son's death and finding out these were so-called friends that did it, and you know, yet you my friend and you seeing some things, and if you listen to the conversation we having, that I said, hey, just, you know, let's just have a, you know, open dialogue. That's what a friend does. That's what a brother and sister does. That's what somebody who truly care, the open dialogue. And I'm going to take what you say and make changes, because that's trying to better me. And I'm hoping it's coming from a good place in your heart. But if you're not taking anything that I'm saying to you and making changes, it's something that needs to happen. And some people don't feel this, they need to change something with them. And that's a bad thing to say, because I was that person. I was like, shoot, everything people saying is wrong about me. I'm this, I'm that. I'm, you know, and it you know, before the 2 years, 2018, I was told that I'm stuck in my ways. I need to change some things. And I did change it, and it's still growth. And I still, you know, pick the good things that people have said to me and that I needed to do to better myself. And I utilize those. And like I said, the friend said something that made me say, hey, I push a lot of stuff away or people away because of a trigger that, you know, I haven't dealt with, that I'm going to have to deal with. And I feel like, you know, you're being evil. But like you said, everybody is different and every relationship is different. So it's just going to be, it's difficult to, you know, try to figure out where to let certain people go. I know one I had to let go. I mean, that was just, I mean, mentally exhausting. Yeah. There was a friend that's mentally exhausting. You're doing crash dummy stuff and I don't like it. And I'm telling you stuff that could get you hurt, and then, you know, telling you not to do stuff that could get you hurt, and you putting me in that predicament of being around you that I can get hurt from it. So I had to just cut them ties, just, you know, end all communications, because you weren't coming from a good place. You may have a good heart, but you do some very evil and conniving things. And yeah, those type of things get people laid out somewhere.
Yeah. I would say I made a lot of changes from the beginning of this relationship that I'm in now till now. I kind of, and it was small steps, you know, because I knew that this person was the person I wanted to, you know, spend my life with. You know, they completed me. So I figured, you know, what I was doing before wasn't, you know, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it sucks for the last person, because, you know, maybe I should have changed then. But I think I matched, at that time, I matched my ex's energy. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't want to do nothing, so I wasn't going to do nothing. You know, we were just homebodies. And, you know, what do homebodies do? I mean, at that time, I was gaming online all the time. My kids were gaming online. So we would just, you know, just do whatever and then go out, you know, time to time. You know, but I know in this relationship, I can't do that. I give myself 1 to 2 hours and I'll come online and I'll play, you know, some games, you know, do my podcast for a couple of hours, and I have my set date, you know, because I know that any other day, or if I play, you know, my games, you know, at night or when I wake up, I play for a certain amount of time, put it away, get to work, you know. But I think before, I mean, I kid you not, I used to like probably start playing 8 or 9 o'clock at night when, you know, they were falling asleep or she was falling asleep, mm-hmm, and play to like 2 or 3 in the morning, mm-hmm, recording it and you know, mm-hmm. But I mean, that was, you know, that was me back then. Now it's, it's different. You know, I know that when it's time to go lay in the bed, you know, we go lay in the bed and, you know, go to sleep or do whatever, you know, at that point, you know, but spend some type of quality time, because I know she's working, I'm working, you know, maybe my work is a little more relaxed, you know, I'll go here and there, but, you know, I know that I'm worth something. She knows she's worth something. And like I said before, I don't have the best communication skills, but I mean, even though, you know, I talk a lot, but sometimes it's not, you know, the communication that most women want. Mm-hmm. And I know that for sure.
Well, the thing of it is, this is what, you know, one of my coworkers we was talking about is sometimes we don't look for that communication. We just want somebody to be there emotionally. And it's hard to find that these days, or be not willing to give. I don't know what it is, but not to even say a word. Sometimes I remember like the little relationship I had. I just told him, look, I know he worked 16 hours sometimes, and it can be very demanding. You know, you're working in a lab with chemicals. You know, yeah. 16 hours. So I know you're tired. You know, you're drained. You don't have to come and ask me what's going on with me. You don't have to come and, you know, have a conversation. If you just come there and just hug me, just hold me, just come here and, you know, and because I'm gonna do the same. I'm that type of person. I'm, you know, touchy friendly type person. But just do that, because I don't have to tell you everything that I'm going through. Just come, just sit there, watch a movie with me, watch TV. We don't have to have a conversation. It's just that. And you know, we starting to find that with people. We try to make that work. Yeah. We missing something. We doing everything we can do, but we're not getting what we need. And that's like, I want, you know, so you said that y'all match the energy. You match your mm-hmm. ex's energy. But do you ever, I wanted to ask this question to any man, but I just didn't get the courage. Do you ever think that you missed that opportunity to bring her energy up? Because we know y'all not talkative. We know we want it to be, but it at a point you learn that a man is not going to talk to you. But do you think you missed your opportunity somewhere in there? And I don't want you to think back, because now you're in a good place. You got a good relationship. But at some point, something could have been changed, you think?
I don't think so. I think I did try to bring her energy up, you know, and I would say I think she realized it after, you know, once she got, you know, the bigger boobs and shit like that, you know, she started to go dancing and things like that, you know, started going out, started fixing herself. Like I told you, at one point, you know, I told her, you know, I tried to have the commitment. If I mean, in this relationship, we're both communicative right now, you know, she's more than me, but see, in that relationship, I had to be the more communicative one, because she was the one that had like low self-esteem, you know, and she was going through shit, you know, and I tried to bring her up and be like, you know, dress up, let's go out, let's go do something, you know, the kids can't just be just moping around. And that's why, you know, I got to the point and I'm like, we can't just live here with your parents. You know, we need our own place. You know, let's go back. Mm-hmm. And because we were still like working on the second house for us there at that land. You know, I was like, let's just go back, take our house back and, you know, try to, you know, mend everything. But at that point, like I said, it was kind of back and forth at that time. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, I don't think there was much I could do at that time. And I know that she realized after the fact, once I left, that it was something on her side. And that's why she started to change. I mean, besides the, you know, the cancer and things like that, she realized, you know, you're only going to live once. If you're just going to be moping around and wearing the same shit, you know, Monday through Friday, you know, and then Saturday and Sunday, you're going to wear the same, like looking like you're about to go to work or you're about to go wash some dishes, you know, and we're going out, you know, and I think the pet peeve I had at that time was, and I told her, you know, I was communicative. I was like, stop wearing fucking sandals every fucking where we go. You know, it, mm-hmm. you know, put something else, you know, or something like that. Maybe I was rude at that time. Maybe, mm-hmm. I think, you know, mm-hmm. but, you know, I was trying my best to be communicative and kind of let her know, hey, this is what I like. This is what I would like you to wear. If she would have told me, hey, I don't like you wearing this, or you stop mm-hmm. wearing Jordans, you know, or one time if we go out, you know, wear some dress shoes or something, then I would do it. It's like my relationship now, you know, I don't wear Jordans all the time, but if I could, I freaking would. I got so many of them, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, Janelle would basically be like, well, go put a button up, go put a bun down shirt on or something. You know, we're going somewhere, which mm-hmm. I kind of hate, because mm-hmm. then I show up to this party and everybody's in fucking Jordans and like relaxed and no one's dressed up. And I'm the mm-hmm. only one kind of dressed up, maybe like two or three. So, mm-hmm. I mean, when it's a party, then I get it. You know, I understand, you mm-hmm. know, but, you know, I match her energy. She matches mine. Sometimes I dress up. Like I said, I don't. Did I tell you this? No, maybe I told somebody else. I don't. If I'm going to the store, mm-hmm. I don't wear shorts. I mean, mm-hmm. unless it's a hot day, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, match what she's wearing, you know. But most times, even if I'm just going for 5 minutes, I'm gonna dress up. I'm gonna wear all my stuff, you know, as much as I can. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's now if it's just, you know, run to CVS or something and come back, then, you know, it's no point of getting all dressed up. But if I'm going to like the mall or something, I have mm-hmm. to. But that's just me.
Well, the thing of it is, I had that. It was told to me too. But, you know, when he said that he wanted me to show my legs, I put it like that, you know, and it's good when a man and you're in a relationship with that man or a female and they tell you what they like and they go buy it. You know, yeah. And that's what he did. He bought me what he wanted me to, you know, what he wanted to see me in. And I appreciate it. But then I'm not a flashy person. I'm not. My kids maybe, but I'm not. So you can give me some joggers and some stuff and go to Walmart and come back or whatever. But I'm not. Now, when I go to work, yeah, I may dress up. And you've been knowing me for years. So I would dress up going to work. But if we was to go somewhere, yeah, I'm gonna put on some nice little clothes or whatever, but around the house, yeah, you may get a little sundress and some some joggers. But if he was like, this is what I like, okay, let's try it. But if you're not doing it, see, men want us to do it, but they don't give us what we want. You know what I'm saying? So I had a guy that, this dude, I gave him my number. Worst mistake ever. He called me. And I guess I never called back or whatever it was. And then finally one day I did answer the phone. And this dude, whatever he was going through that day, he told me, y'all women, y'all don't respect a good man when y'all see one and da da da. And I expect a woman that I'm going to be with to be there and to wear a thong every day and to cook and, you know, to be at home and take care of the home. I said, excuse me, so what are you supposed to do? Because first of all, I'm not putting a thong in my ass every fucking day. I'm not every day. That's fucked up. And then two, you saying cook, so what are you going to do? I was like, oh yeah, I cook. Uh-huh, well, that if that's what you want, you go see if you find that in them streets. And boom, I deleted his number, blocked it. No, I blocked him off of my social media. And that was just one conversation. So what are you going to give me? You want me to dress up like this? What? Man, and that's the thing. Men don't, I'm going to just say certain men, they think it's, because I tap you on the ass, that's good enough. Really? What you giving me? You want me to give you stuff? What are you giving me? Right. It don't always have to be sexual, but we are emotional creatures, females are. So are you giving me that?
Yeah, I would say I think what helps in a relationship, and I kind of said it earlier, is matching each other's energy. Because if you're, you know, at a five, he should match your energy and be at a five, and y'all do what y'all do. But if you're always on eight, I should be on eight, or we should both be on eight, or at least eight or nine, you know, just close to each other, just so the relationship moves forward and there's no mishaps. Because I shouldn't be on eight all the time and you're like on four, you know, or vice versa, because that's going to cause issues and cause a clash. And like you said, if he wants you to dress a certain way, you should go buy it, you know, buy it for you. And then you just put it together. Now, are you going to do that all the time? No, you know, it's going to be when the time is needed. Just like, you know, me and my fiance, she likes certain kind of shirts and she'll buy them. I don't wear them all the time, you know, but you know, it's, if we're going out, then I understand, you know, like they say, I understood the assignment. I'm going to, you know, wear that shirt or the new shirt or a shirt that she probably bought for me, you know, because I ain't gonna lie, I got shirts in my closet that I've probably had at least 20 years. I have a jersey that me and the kids took a picture with one time, and I just thought about it one day. I showed the kids and I still got it. They don't have theirs, but we all took pictures with who was it, Tracy McGrady jersey, and I still got it. And my son, I remember in the picture, he was only like one or two, and he's 20 now. So,
wow. Yeah, I mean, I think different. I think, you know, if we actually get the energy, you know, like you said, match. But a lot of times, some men don't match it. And they think it's okay. And we don't say anything because we don't want to hurt men's feelings. But, like, damn, I have to psych myself up to even be in the mood because you're not giving me that. You know, just emotional or physical touch. But, oh, that's for a whole nother conversation there. Right. But it's, you know, yeah. So, yeah, it's time, you know, leave those relationships that if you're not getting filled up, your cup is not getting filled back up.
Yeah,
I feel
okay. That was a pretty good conversation today.
Yes, it was.
Look at you, 37 minutes.
What we doing?
But we took 2 hours to
get started.